The special favor for Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, once again welcome you in our program Saints of Qadiriyya Ode. Alhamdulillah, last episode we covered Sayyidina Ali كرم الله تعالى وجهه الكريم and Sayyidina Imam Ali مقام Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an. And today we'll talk about Sayyidina Imam Zain al-Abidin radiallahu ta'ala an, as well as Sayyidina Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala an. And hopefully if we have time, we'll include few more personalities in our program. Respecting this, before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahle Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Daman Barakatum Al-Aliya, has given us a beautiful mindset that we should make good intentions before we perform any permissible deed or any task. I make this intention, inshallah, I will present this program for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You all shall make this intention, you will be with us from start to end, you will remember what you learn, act upon and pass this knowledge on to others too, inshallah azza wa jal. And remember, the more intentions you make for a particular task, the higher the reward you can attain. Alhamdulillah, today joins me Dr. Zirek Naseem Attari in this program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah, Rasul Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much once again coming and giving you precious time. Today's personality, inshallah, we'll be talking about is a great personality in the history of Islam, Sayyidina Imam Zainul Abidin, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. First of all, if you could please introduce this beautiful personality for our viewers of Madani Channel.
First of all, many thanks for inviting me to share some of the knowledge and also to gain the blessings by mentioning these great personalities. Imam Zainul Abidin is actually his title. His real name is Ali Awsat.
MashaAllah.
There is a reason behind this name. The Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in affection and love that he had for his beloved father, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, all the three sons that Imam Hussain had, he named them Ali.
Subhanallah.
Now the eldest one, as we know, was Hazrat Ali Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then middle one, Hazrat Ali Awsat radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the youngest one, Hazrat Ali Asghar. So Asghar means youngest, Awsat means the middle one, Akbar means the elder one.
MashaAllah.
Hazrat Imam Zainul Abidin was Ali Awsat, the middle Ali of the three. And why is he called Zainul Abidin? Is basically this is his title. Imam Zainul Abidin means the leader and the beauty of those people who worship Allah Azza wa Jal in abundance.
SubhanAllah.
And so he used to worship Allah Azza wa Jal to such an extent that in this day and age we only know him as Imam Zainul Abidin.
SubhanAllah.
And it's the title that was given to him by other people, other individuals of his time period, purely because of his, you know, the devotion,
piety,
the taqwa, the piety and the worship that in abundance he used to do it.
SubhanAllah.
Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was born 38 years after the Hijrah. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu gained knowledge from his beloved father radiallahu ta'ala anhu and obviously gained the status that he is known today.
What a beautiful title he possesses. He talked about his piety, his taqwa, his level of ibadah, the worshipping in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why would he not do ibadah to that extent? Because he was raised up, subhanallah, in the blessed company of Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyida Shahr Banu radiallahu ta'ala anha, and subhanallah, whose grandmother is Sayyida Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the level of ibadah and worship of Sayyida Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha was such that she used to say that, oh Allah, your night is so little, too short for me to do your ibadah. That was the level of ibadah she used to do. Allahu Akbar. And subhanallah, when children grow up in such an environment, when grandparents, when parents, they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are engaged in ibadah and pleasing their Lord Azza wa Jal, definitely then children are likes of Sayyidina Imam Zainul Abideen radiallahu ta'ala. I would like to request you how important it is for an environment at home, because many of our viewers, they could be thinking that we want to raise our children on Islamic lines. We want to embed teachings of Islam within their personalities. But living in today's society, it is very hard for them to raise their children according to teachings of Islam. But if we go back to the era of Sayyidina Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, and I compare that to today's world also, that was also a multi-faith society. People of different religion and faiths, they were living in that very environment where Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam raised Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, Sayyidina Fatima to Zahra radiallahu an, and the level of indecency was also at that moment in time when Sayyidina Fatima and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, they were raised, and people were in the time of utter ignorance at that moment, but they were raised, subhanallah, and how beautifully raised. We can even not imagine, and there is no example of such, subhanallah, in history of Islam. And again, when they raised their children after that, subhanallah, we are talking about those personalities today. So what Madani pearls would you give to the viewers of Madani Channel who want their children to be brought up in terms of Islamic teachings and on those lines? What Madani pearls would you like to share?
Two things I'd like to mention here. One is the genetic influence. Those of us who are parents, if they observe their little children, then their habits are very much similar to the habits of the parents. Now, some of the tasks that they do, they copy, and I'll come to that a little bit later on. But as a father, I have noted that sometimes my children adopt certain habits that I have not demonstrated in front of them, but this is as a result of the genetic influence. My personality has shifted via the genes, or my characteristics have shifted via the genes into the genes of my offspring, my children. So if I am a pious from an early age, and prior to obviously, you know, getting married and so forth, and I adopt those beautiful characteristics, then automatically these good characteristics will shift into my children.
Subhanallah.
And if I have, Allah forbid, the bad characteristics, then those will also shift into the children. And whether, you know, so sometimes it has that effect. Second thing is, in terms of childhood learning, children learn from a number of different ways. There are a number of different theories and different processes. One of the process that the children learn in a majority of the time is what we call as modeling. Now, what modeling means is that they see someone doing something and they simply copy that particular behavior.
Right.
So if the environment is a pious environment where parents are obviously performing good deeds, whether it is the recitation of the Holy Quran, whether it is Salah, praying namaz, whether it is giving charity, the little children will try to copy that behavior. And you notice this, that early on children will copy this behavior, and you know, it's very easy to imprint these good deeds on their minds.
Sure.
And later on, when they develop a better understanding, this is again your own character, your own words, and what you say to them. If you don't act upon it, the children will get confused. And this is one of the biggest, you know, factor that the children are getting away from their parents. Why? Because parents are saying something else and they're doing something else, and the children are getting confused that how come my parents are actually telling lies. They are asking me not to do something, but this exact same thing they are doing. Or they are asking me to do this, but they themselves are not doing it.
And in the seerah of awliya kiram, we find a sidq, we find truthfulness. And subhanAllah, and I think that was one of the beautiful points you have brought into discussion, that because these personalities, when they were raised up in an environment when their parents, they were pious and they were truthful and they were sadiq and ameen, right, subhanAllah. And that was the reason why they were not confused in terms of following them as a role model. And this program, Viewers of Money Channel, why we have brought is to talk about our real role models. These past personalities, what lessons we can learn from their life and legacy. Alhamdulillah. Nasser, please carry on.
So clearly, Imam Zainul Abidin, radiallahu ta'ala, the environment that he had was the pious environment. You know, he, radiallahu ta'ala, the first 2 years of his life, he was blessed with the company of Hazrat Ali, radiallahu ta'ala, and then Imam Hussain, radiallahu ta'ala, and Imam Hassan as well. So these are all pious leaders of the Ummah and the, you know, the prince of the Jannah. And I would like to actually mention a recent day example in connection with this particular, that, you know, if the environment is good, then the children will become good as well. Alhamdulillah, may Allah Azza wa Jal give, you know, a good health and long life to our Shaykh Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnah, that one of his disciples, Ali Bhai. He's got a son called Hassan.
Yeah.
Now, mashallah, you know, his name is of after Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he has been brought up in the company of the Amir Ahl Sunnah.
Subhanallah.
We have seen him early on from Madani Channel, where he would sleep, you know, in the quarters of Amir Ahl Sunnah. And look at him, you know, those of us who have observed him closely, even on Madani Channel or in real life, he wears an Imamah Sharif, he says Subhanallah, he says Sallu ala al-Habib, I mean, he eats according to the Sunnah, and there are so many other amazing characteristics. There's one example where, you know, one of his Qari Sahibs who teaches him online the Holy Quran, and the telephone line cut off, and he started crying. You know, whereas other children, they will be so happy that I have got day off or my Qari Sahib isn't coming. But he was crying. Why? Because, you know, he said that I need to learn. So these are the examples and the pious environment, the impact it has on the upbringing of the children.
That's absolutely right. Those they're watching right now, Viewers of Madani Channel, they would have observed this also in their own home. Like a child who is a son, he tries to copy the hairstyle of his father. He wants to dress up like his father does. And likewise, the daughters, they want to copy their mom. Right, their mother, if she's wearing a scarf, and she will wear the scarf. If she's offering salah or father is offering salah, child and children, they come and they stand next to them and they offer salah. So rather than telling them to do something, if we practically demonstrate and they watch us and they observe us and they see us, I think that is more, you know, action speaks louder than words, as it is said.
I think, I mean, just to add, there do come a point where you need to tell children as well. So we can't sort of like ignore that aspect. But if you have to tell something, you need to be acting upon it yourself as well. Only then it will have a true impact.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, today we are talking about a personality, Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu ta'ala. Very faith-refreshing account, and something to learn a lot from it is in front of me, Nasa. He radiallahu ta'ala, he used to have a unique attribute of khawfi khuda, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was such a God-fearing personality that it is mentioned that whenever he radiallahu ta'ala he would make wudu for salah, his color of face would go pale. And when it was asked that why your color changes when you perform wudu, Allahu Akbar, then the answer was that, don't you know whose court am I going to present myself? Allahu Akbar. This was the understanding of Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu ta'ala an, that now when I'm going to offer salah, I'm going to present myself in the court of Lord of both worlds, all the worlds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this would change his complete features and color of his face, Allahu Akbar. But unfortunately, what is our condition when it comes to offer salah? Do we have that understanding? Do we offer salah with such concentration, such focus, with such khushu and khudu?
This is a very beautiful example for us to learn that when Imam Zainul Abidin is going to start his salah, even before that he thinks about the highest court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he obviously adopts humility, he adopts that fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that his complexion will turn into pale. Now, we are complete opposite of it. When we go to pray namaz, our mind is all, you know, our thoughts are scattered and we are thinking about worldly matters. And this is probably almost definitely one of the reasons that if we are not focused on what we are going to do and we don't obviously think of the high, you know, status of the namaz, of the masjid, then clearly we don't develop that state of, you know, complete submission, khushu and khuzu. Whereas when it comes to worldly matters, you know, if I need, let's say, for example, money or a favor from someone, one of my sort of, you know, I have a problem which that particular individual can resolve. Now, if I'm going to go to him, then look at the, preparations that I will make. I will try to present myself, I will try to be polite with him, I will try to smile at him, and I will try not to say anything that sort of like, you know, upsets that particular individual. So in worldly matters, we give all the attention to the situation that we're going to be in, whereas in the matters of the world hereafter, we are not bothered. And this is clearly very easy to understand from the practices of Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that even before he would start his prayer, he will be thinking about the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and his ghazab. And now obviously this is their humility, this is their humbleness, this is their them being down to earth and they having the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, which actually puts them into that situation.
On top of that, Doctor, if we take this worldly example, right? If any minister or prime minister calls us and we have to go and see, so we will have some sort of focus and attention towards him. Right? Sometimes people, they're making dua, they're looking around here and there and making dua. They are presenting themselves in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're asking, if we are in salah, we are actually in conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're presenting our plea. We are making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, we're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at that moment in time also, we should be aware with this fact that we are presenting ourselves in the court of King of all the kings. So our attention, our focus, our khushu and khudu must be there intact. And in many narrations about khushu and khudu, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam emphasized on this important element of salah. I would like to ask you, as subhanAllah we learned from the seerah of Sayyidina Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu anhu, and also that even let alone offering salah, and what focus would he have that moment in khushu and khudu, even at the time of right wudu, subhanAllah, his condition was different. If he do look at it from medical perspective, how important is concentration and focus for doing anything, let it be any work or job or thing, or it be a worship?
Clearly from a psychological point of view, concentration plays a huge role.
Sure.
In our performance. So if we are focused on a task,
yes,
or we are focused on a particular situation, then we will be prepared.
Sure.
For what is going to happen, what may happen unexpectedly, I would be thinking in advance that what I need to say, what do I need to do, so the chances of success
and performance
can come higher, if your concentration is there.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Respective views of Madani Shaykh, we should also develop khushu and khudu when it comes to offer salah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when we are going to offer salah, making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, when we read the seerah of Sayyidina Imam Zain al-Abidin radiyallahu ta'ala, and there is another account which we find in books, that is regarding when he was going to Hajj, and what was his condition, subhanallah, and level of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how dominant was that? If you could please explain that.
Now again, this is a beautiful example. Some of us have had the experience of Hajj, and when you start your journey, when you wear your ihram, and one of the conditions of ihram is that you have to recite what we call as talbiyah, which is labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Now obviously, you know, we don't take too much notice of it, and we recite it. And if you look at the meaning of it, labbaik means, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am present in your court. Now I'm presenting myself in your court. Now Imam Zainul Abidin, and this is also a trait of some of the other pious predecessors, rahmahullah, that due to the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, they would think, what if I say labbaik and Allah Azza wa Jal does not accept my labbaik and says that, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal says la labbaik, that I don't accept your labbaik, and I'm rejected in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And due to the fear of this, they would not have that courage
to
actually say those words. And they will tremble with fear of Allah Azza wa Jal due to this fear of rejection in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Once again, this is their you know, piety, this is their humbleness, this is their humility in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. This was also the state of Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu ta'ala, once he was going to start his journey of Hajj. Now in those days, they would actually go on camels or other sort of like rides as well. So Imam Zainul Abidin, you know, put on his ihram, and he was sitting on the back of the camel. And again, due to this fear, he radiallahu ta'ala wasn't able to recite talbiyah. And the individual, the companions that were with him, they would actually say to him that if you don't recite talbiyah, your ihram isn't going to start, because that's the condition of ihram. That when you put on two chadars, then with making the intention, you have to recite talbiyah. So eventually, he did recite talbiyah, but due to he was overtaken by the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he basically fainted and fell down from the back of the camel.
Allah, Allah.
And then throughout the Hajj, whenever he would recite talbiyah, he would faint, and this is the state in which he performed his Hajj.
Allah, Allah. Respective views of Malaysian. These were our pious predecessors. This was their taqwa, this was their piety, this was their level of ibadah, their concentration, their focus, their fear in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever they thought, we are going to present ourselves in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how would they react, their body, their feelings, their concentration, subhanallah. It is something to learn from the seerah of Sayyidina Imam Zainul Abidin radiyallahu ta'ala, and beauty of worship, Allahu Akbar, the title he possesses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a little share from their legacy, from their personality, subhanAllah, from those attributes which were specially granted to these personalities, and we can also, if only, follow them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us also that connection in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that fear in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when we are offering salah, we are going to present ourselves in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and subhanAllah, if only if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to Hajj, we also do such Hajj, which is, subhanAllah, likes of the Hajj of Sayyidina Imam Zain al-Abidin radiyallahu ta'ala.
And from this incident, there is another great lesson to learn as well. Now, when you have a fear of authority figures, for example, police, or for children, it's the teachers, or, you know, if you take your parents as authority figure as well, and, you know, having fear of parents. So whenever you have a fear of an authority figure, let's take it, you know, police, for example, then due to that fear, you will not cross those boundaries that have been set. by the law.
To establish the peace.
Whether it is in terms of committing a crime, whether it is in terms of traffic rules and regulations. Why? Because you are afraid of the punishment or the sanctions that will follow. So fear, in many ways, is a very good way of behaving.
True.
Within the boundaries, so that you are successful in terms of the worldly matters. Now, if you end up, you know, committing crimes, then you will end up in jail.
Yeah.
Why? Because you actually you crossed those boundaries. Why? Because you didn't, you weren't fearful of the authorities at that time, and you think that I will get away with it. Now, if on the other hand we were to develop the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and become aware of the boundaries that have been set by Allah Azza wa Jal in the form of the beautiful teachings of Islam, then due to this fear, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will not cross those boundaries, meaning that we will not violate the beautiful teachings of Islam. And now the beautiful teachings of Islam, you know, they tell us about the rights of people, they tell us about the rights of everything, you know, even the trees, even the insects, every other creation has got rights.
True.
So we being, you know, the human beings, they have to actually observe these rights of everything as well. So by having that fear, it plays a greater role for us to remain within those boundaries.
True.
So, and again, for children to learn, you use two techniques. One is the reward for good actions,
yeah. Oh.
And one is sanctions.
True.
For misbehaving. So children, as a result of a fear of the sanctions that will follow if they misbehave or they break certain boundaries, they will actually not misbehave, because they will know that that sanction will follow, that punishment will follow. Whereas if I did good thing, then I will be rewarded. So children in the early stages, again, as a result of the fear, they behave more than as a result of the reward mechanisms. Yes, they both play a part, separate. Obviously, as you grow older and older, there is more element of reward. But again, the fear has to be there. And like, you know, there is a beautiful, you know, rule within the teachings of Islam, is that the iman, faith, is a state between fear and hope.
Subhanallah.
Fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and the hope of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the reward. So hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal can be thought of as a reward, and the fear in the form of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the one who can attain that right balance, his faith, his iman will be the strongest.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Respecting Mirza Ahmadani Sherim, now let's include another beautiful personality in our program, and that is Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Baqir radiyallahu ta'ala an. He radiyallahu ta'ala an is the son of Imam Zainul Abidin radiyallahu ta'ala an, we just discussed. And he is also in Shajara Qadiriyah. Subhanallah, in the list of those pious predecessors who are in the chain of Qadiriyya order. Doctor, we are talking about Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Baqir radiallahu ta'ala. I think it would be a good idea to just share a little bit of introduction for the viewers of Madani Sharon, who this great personality is, what is his name, and the titles given to this great personality.
Now, again, alhamdulillah, if you look at it, we started off with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Then we moved to his son, Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. Look at the noble lineage that we have in Qadiriyya Silsila. Then the next spiritual guide is obviously Imam Zainul Abidin, who is the son of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. And now we are going to Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala, and he is the son of Imam Zainul Abidin. Now, if you, Imam Zainul Abidin being the father of Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala, and the mother of Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the daughter of Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So you can see the, you know, both Hassani and Husayni Sayyid, as we call it, his lineage. From the father's side, he's Husayni, and the mother's side, he's Hassani. And alhamdulillah, so again, if I go back to the, you know, the genetic makeup, he would have inherited in terms of the piety, in terms of the high status, and so forth. And then obviously the environment that he was brought up. Now, Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala was born 57 year of Hijrah, which is, you know, almost 3 years before the Waqia of Karbala. So he would have had the blessed company of Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala
anhu,
as well, you know, in the first 3 years of his life as well.
And this is also interesting. His name was Muhammad. Kunya was Abu Ja'far, and the title was Sami, Baqir, Shakir, and Hadi.
And also, you know, in terms of his level of knowledge, in terms of his practices upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and the knowledge he had of the Holy Quran, and also the history and the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was unrivaled. Now, let me mention one example, that in this day and age, now alhamdulillah, we follow the fiqh, jurisprudence of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi. And Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, he possessed, you know, that level of intellect, which it is said that if, for example, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa wanted to prove that this particular table is made of gold, when it is not, he would have such, you know, intellectual ability that he will prove that this thing is made from gold.
He would prove that.
Yeah, that's just as an example. Now, obviously, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had the blessed company. He had the privilege to be in the blessed company of Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It is narrated from Imam Qazi Abu Yusuf rahmatullah ta'ala alayh that he asked Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that did you get the blessed company of Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala anhu?
Did
you meet him? And Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, yes, I have met him, and I asked him a question about Islamic ruling on a particular topic. And Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, who himself was such a highly knowledgeable and intellectual individual, a highly academic individual, he says that Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave such an excellent, such a splendid answer. The Imam Azam Abu Hanifa says that I have never heard such a splendid and beautiful answer from anyone else.
Subhanallah. Respected viewers of Madinah Channel, this was Sayyidina Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala, and this was his level of intellect, intelligence, and subhanallah, knowledge of Deen Islam. That even Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala and made such incredible remarks about his knowledge, subhanallah. And Doctor, I think this is something we can also learn from the seerah of Sayyidina Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala, and the knowledge he had about Quran and Hadith in terms of seerah of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and knowledge of fiqh, subhanallah. This is something we are lacking in terms of our knowledge. To be honest with you, unfortunately today, majority, they do not know any idea what are the basic teachings regarding ghusl, regarding salah, regarding fasting. These very basic information and knowledge we do not possess. But these great personalities, subhanallah, from their seerah we learn that we need to attach ourselves with ilm, with knowledge. And this is something very important to learn from.
In this particular place, I would like to mention a very beautiful ruling. And majority of us are unaware of it.
Ji.
And again, it pertains to having the right knowledge. So any action that we do, whether it is praying salah, whether it is performing hajj, whether it is giving zakat, whether it is keeping fasts, whether it is about the beliefs of Allah Azza wa Jal, about the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam and so forth, or giving charity, any action that we do, majority of the time we think, okay, well, I will do it as I think is the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas Islamic teachings have actually given a very set method, and they have prescribed a particular way how to perform something.
Sure.
So for example, action of namaz, Allah Azza wa Jal orders in the Holy Quran that, you know, pray your namaz, wa aqimu salah. But there is no detail that how to pray salah. This is where we then go in the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and how he trained the companions alayhi wa sallam, that this is how you will pray salah, this is how you will stand, this is how will you recite, this is how you will do your ruku, this is how you will do your sujood, this is how you will do at-tahiyyat, and so and so forth.
True.
Now in tafsir Siratul Jinan, Mufti Qasim Damat Barakatuhul Aliyah, in the commentary of the verse, the Alladhi khalaqal mauta wal hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala. Now, under this verse, Mufti Saab says that the every good action of an individual should be for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal plus as prescribed by the teachings of Islam.
True.
And only then it will be acceptable in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Two conditions: the intention that I'm performing this task for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and secondly, the task must be as prescribed by the teachings of Islam.
True.
This is what we learn from the seerah of Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that we should acquire knowledge.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Respect to you, Yusuf Madani Shailan, knowledge is a key for our success in terms of our ibadah also, and getting closer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Quran, the very first verse which was revealed, that was again Iqra, read. So learning is, subhanAllah, the very first message of Quran also, which was revealed upon Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. We need to attach ourselves with Quran, ahadith, fiqh, knowledge. And these pious predecessors, they have practically, alhamdulillah, proven from their seerah, and we need to follow. These are our real role models. Doctor, there is a beautiful account of Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala an, when he went to Hajj, to perform Hajj in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as he radiallahu an entered Masjid al-Haram, at that moment when he saw, the first glance was casted on Baytullah, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He screamed in such a way that everyone started looking at Sayyidina Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala an. And the slave Aflah, he says that I told Sayyidina Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala an, Huzur, do not scream, because everyone has started looking at you. He radiallahu ta'ala an said, why shall I not cry? It is possible that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers his merciful sight upon me, and on the day of judgment I am successful and I get salvation. They wanted just one merciful sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were the personalities. Even such personalities, they were, subhanallah, very much close in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The level of worship, subhanallah, it was next to none. But yet, they were humble, they were down to earth. They were always God-fearing. They had this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was in their hearts, and they wanted mercy from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they did not care who is watching and what they are thinking about
and
them.
I think, again, if we were to link this with Imam Zainul Abidin, the father of Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala, that prior to performing salah, he had that fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, and his complexion will turn into pale color. And we look at Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala, that he's going to perform Hajj, and when he looks at the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, he's overtaken by the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, and his condition changes. And again, if we come back into this day and age, what is our condition when we go to perform Hajj? I think the first thing that we want to do is take a selfie and share it on social media. Now again, I'm not here to judge anyone's intention, but if I were to judge my own intention, then what is my intention? All of us who are watching, if I am taking that selfie, what is my intention? If my intention is to actually show people that, look, I'm here and I am performing Umrah, and every Umrah you perform, that you actually upload another selfie, and your intention is to show off to people, even though you think that, oh, I'm blessed and this is the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Some blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal are better kept hidden.
True.
Better kept secret. The ulama ikram and the pious predecessors say, کہ دے شوڈ بی سرٹن گڈ ڈیڈز دی اونلی ایدر یو نو اور اللہ عزوجل نو اینڈ نو ون ایلس نو اینڈ اٹ از پاسیبل دیٹ دوز ہڈن ڈیڈز آر یو نو ایکسیپٹڈ ان دی کورٹ آف اللہ عزوجل اینڈ اگین یو نو اٹ از دیر از اے ویری فیمس نریشن دیٹ وین یو گیو اٹ ود دی رائٹ ہینڈ the left hand isn't aware of it.
Allah Akbar.
So that, you know, that you have given and your left hand doesn't know the how much you've given.
It's a metaphorical
understanding. That's a sort of like,
nobody,
you know, an example to illustrate the what does it mean. So there should be certain good deeds that should be between me and my Rabb Azza wa Jal, whereas unfortunately in this day and age, it's the opposite. That every good deed that I want to do, I want to show to people. And when I am off the screen of the mobile phone, when I'm not online on social media, then reflect on your actions. Are you more pious when you are in your own company or less pious when you are in your own company? And you will get the answer that am I actually sincere in my, you know, tasks that I perform? And clearly, you know, if you are, you know, if you develop the habit to do more good deeds when you are in the company of others, then it is a sign that I may not be doing things for the, you know, with sincerity or for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal or for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Absolutely right, Doctor. The topic you've started is something really, really important and a message we should learn. Respecting those of Madani Shailam, especially when we go for Umrah, when we are performing Tawaf or we are in Haram, maybe we are next to Masjid Nabawi, Zadah Allahu Sharfa wa Ta'azima Madinatul Nabi or Kaabatullah Sharif. If we are making videos or taking pictures or selfies, again, we are not here to judge someone's intention, but the level of concentration which is required at that moment in time, that definitely gets disturbed. If you are involved in all those things which we are discussing, definitely. There, our pious predecessors, when they used to go, the first sight they would cast on Kaaba Sharif, you see, that is the time to make dua. That is the time to ask from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dua is accepted. That is the time to reflect upon your past deeds, what you have been doing. And that is the moment to connect yourselves with the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected Yusuf Manajir, I read a very beautiful sentence in one of the masjid. It was written, disconnect yourself from the world and connect yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they had put a cross on mobile phone. So this is why we come to masjid. This is there to have our connection with our Lord Azza wa Jal. There we are there to do conversation with our Lord Azza wa Jal. And Allahu Akbar, those are fortunate. They are called in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a markaz, a center point of blessings. Everywhere there is a blessing. Allahu Akbar. I was reading about Kaabatullah Sharif. The mataf, it has its own blessings. The wall of Kaaba Sharif, it has its own blessings. The top roof of Kaaba Sharif has its own blessings. Mizab-e-Rahmat, it has its own blessings. All four corners, they've got their own blessings, right? Mustajab, Mustajar, Hatim, Zamzam, Maqam-e-Ibrahim. You name any sacred place, it has got in their own blessings. And you make dua, your duas are accepted at that moment in time. And that is the time to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to shed some tears, the way Sayyidina Imam Baqir radiallahu ta'ala and screamed and cried in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The intention was, if this crying is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if I am able to receive just one merciful sight from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will be, inshallah, azza wa jal, blessed, and I will be successful, and I will have salvation, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment. And that is the main purpose of going to perform Hajj, to perform Umrah, and not to waste time wandering around here and there and wasting time in all such activities which end up wasting our precious time there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding. These programs, Dr. Savi, why we bring, the reason is we learn from the seerah of our pious predecessors. And I hope, alhamdulillah, many of our viewers must have benefited from today's program. Inshallah, next week we will be back with another beautiful episode with some beautiful personalities of Qadiriyah Order, Qadiriyah Chain. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Keep watching Madani Channel. Until then, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
The special favor of Allah, Aliyah.